Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Andre Camelli, and we are here to present a very exciting topic. This topic actually was made out of necessity of a growing epidemic in our culture, and that epidemic falls under several different categories. The most common ones that we see in this day and age are type 2 diabetes and people who have high cholesterol, or they call, in the medical terminology, is called hypercholesterolemia. And the other one, which is an actual epidemic at close to 75% of our population, which is obesity. So whether we're labeling it diabetes, whether it's showing up as cholesterol issues, or whether it's showing up as obesity, these all have the same root problem. So this particular class, we'll basically go into where all this comes from. Rather than trying to treat the effect, diabetes, for instance, type 2, typically is treated with insulin. So people are shooting themselves up either with synthetic insulin or taking things to help control their blood glucose, rather than addressing why the blood glucose is out of control to begin with. Same thing with cholesterol. Right now, we have a large percentage of people with cholesterol issues on statin drugs such as Lipitor, which, again, it's addressing the effect. It's not treating the cause. And obviously, statin drugs have quite a few side effects. One most common one is the depletion of coenzyme Q10, which basically controls, it's the energy producer of all of our muscle tissue. And the reason that's important, obviously our skeletal muscles, if we don't have proper CoQ10, we get fatigue, muscle aches, just don't have any energy. But also our heart is a muscle and it requires CoQ10 as well. So if we're depleting CoQ10, which statin drugs deplete about 60% of stored CoQ10 in the body, we need to, A, look at replenishing the CoQ10, and then, of course, in this class, we're going to show you how to actually reverse hypercholesterolemia, try to clean up your lipid panel, everything from triglycerides on down through your LDL, HDL, and total cholesterol. We're going to show you some other labs that we can do to really hone in on what's going on. And we're going to show you how to reverse that in a fairly short amount of time. I have seen patients do it in 21 days where they completely reverse their entire issue on a blood panel, a lipid panel with cholesterol and triglycerides. I've seen other colleagues of mine get a blood test done after going on this particular program, and within 7 to 10 days, completely reverse these cholesterol issues. So they are very reversible, as well as obesity. These are all hormonal metabolic problems, and they all have the same solution. So we're going to get into the class. You guys are really going to enjoy the simplicity of this, because what happens is it comes from a large, very large body of research that has been going on over the last 20 years. And some of those you may have heard of. Probably one of the most early originators back in the later 90s was Dr. Sears. He's the author of a book called The Zone. He went into a lot of research on this particular topic. Dr. Perricone also does it. Dr. Atkins, although his approach was pretty out of bounds. A lot of people took that as eating as much bacon and sausage as you want, and that's supposed to be healthy for you. So obviously we know there's some flaws there. But all of them have, some truth to them. The more recent ones, the ones that we really like, the one is called the Paleo Diet, based off the Paleolithic ancestors of ours. And basically another gentleman who kind of did an offshoot of that, his name is Mark Sisson, and he wrote a book called The Primal Blueprint, another really good summary of what we're going to talk about as far as some nutrition and exercise approaches go. And then, of course, a medical doctor who actually did a great job of summarizing a lot of this research, and he is called Mark Hyman, MD, and his book is called The Blood Sugar Solution. So anyway, all of these different things, they all have a lot of validity. The other thing that has a lot of validity other than Dr. Mercola's book called The No Grains Diet is the approach of the raw food movement, and a lot of you may have heard of this, but essentially it's increasing the amount of plant-based food in your diet. Some really good documentaries called Forks Over Knives and Food Matters, if you guys want to watch a movie version of this. Those are two really good ones. Again, Forks Over Knives, and the other one is called Food Matters. So these are all just resources. If you want to delve in deeper, you're more than welcome to. But both of these concepts have an enormous amount of validity. And as far as getting to the root of the problem, we're going to see it's very evident that consuming foods that spike our insulin is dangerous, and not consuming enough vegetables is also dangerous, not consuming enough fresh plant-based foods. So what we need to do is look at it from two angles. One, increasing the amount of vegetables and fresh fruit we get in our diet. And the other one is eliminating these massive spikes of insulin that we're getting from eating these refined foods. The danger of having insulin spiking is that it causes the receptor site, and again, I don't want to get into too much detail and too much science behind this, but every cell has insulin receptors. When you stimulate insulin, when insulin gets stimulated, these receptors are opening up the gateway to allow blood sugar into the cell so your body can use the glucose as fuel. But what happens is when we're continually spiking our insulin through the roof every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day, what happens is the cells, the receptor sites get tired, and they call that insulin resistance. And that's kind of like the first step in this particular process, is that the cell just gets tired, and the insulin receptors get overwhelmed and start shutting down. The other thing that happens is when the blood glucose, you eat a carbohydrate, starchy-rich food that spikes the sugar through the roof, what's happening is the sugar is spiking, but then it plummets really hard. And when it drops, you go into what's called hypoglycemia, but more importantly, you go into a spike of another hormone that is detrimental to our health, which is called cortisol. So not only is our insulin spiking and then dropping on the drop of every time insulin drops after a big spike like that, we have stress hormones flood our body. And these stress hormones are causing all kinds of problems. So this whole issue with insulin and cortisol, these are the real culprits, you know, when we look at where all these problems are coming from. We have all heard of cortisol, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us are aware that stress hormones cause an enormous amount of fat distribution around our midsection. And if we look at where most people are holding their weight, we're looking at around, for men, it's around the belly, the abdomen, and the back. And then in, you know, the spare tire, and then for women, it's a little lower. It's towards the hips and butt. But the bottom line is that this is all hormonal fat distribution, and it has a detrimental effect on our lipid profile. So if we go and get our cholesterol taken, if our typical cholesterol markers are not out of whack, it's going to be affecting the inflammatory markers, which I'm going to talk to you about. And what we need to look at is changing our lifestyle. It's not so much a diet. We need to look at how we can make healthier choices so we're not spiking our glucose and our insulin through the roof, and we're not getting flooded with stress hormones 3 or 4 times a day. Again, just skipping meals in general will cause stress hormones because your blood sugar will plummet, but not as much secretion of these stress hormones as if you did a high sugary type meal or a high grain type meal. So one of the big misconceptions is that grains are the healthiest food that you can ever have, you know, and what I'm going to show you is that it's actually just a myth, that the grains are what they what the agriculture people, you know, in the cattle field will use to get their cows fat. They use grains, and they also use, obviously, inject them with steroids, bovine growth hormone, and things like that. But what we want to look at is grains every time will cause insulin spiking and cortisol spiking, which will allow us to get fat. So what do they advertise on TV? Oh, you know, eat your grains are great, grains are really good for you. But the reality is it's a hormonal nightmare, and it is one of the leading causes of obesity, diabetes, and blood fat problems. So let's get into some real basic measurements that will determine whether or not you're going to have problems as a result of cortisol and as a result of eating these foods that are spiking the insulin. And the easiest way to do that is something called the waist-to-hip ratio. Everybody can get a measuring tape at home. You measure the waist at the narrowest point, and then you measure the hips at the widest point. And you divide the waist over top of the hips, and you'll get a ratio. And this ratio is so important. It literally increases your risk by over 50% of heart disease, cancers, diabetes, strokes, and a lot of other diseases. And just to understand how this hormonal fat distribution can cause detrimental effects and increase risk factors in your health. In females, you want it to be around 0.7, so 0.7. When you divide those two, if you're in that range as a female, you're good to go. And as a male, if you're at 0.8, you're good. If you start getting waist-to-hip ratios over 1, we got some problems that we really need to address before disaster strikes. We got to get you back into thinning the waist out and getting your hormones under control, with particular attention to stress hormones and insulin. Next on our list is the magic combination of eating a vegetable-rich diet and a low glycemic diet. And what low glycemic means is these are foods that are not going to spike insulin. And I always use a dinner plate analogy. Everybody seems to understand this. If you take a dinner plate and you divide it in half, you got to look at half of the dinner plate consuming, holding raw vegetables or lightly cooked vegetables. The other half of the dinner plate could be a low glycemic grain. I said grains are bad, but not all grains are bad. There is some higher protein, low glycemic grains such as quinoa, which is spelled with a Q, so it's Q-U-I-N-O-A, and they even have quinoa pastas, which you can get at the health food store. But quinoa cooks up the same as rice. You do 1 cup of quinoa, 2 cups of water, and it becomes nice and fluffy. If you want rice, there is a rice that will not spike your insulin, and it's wild rice because it's actually a grass and not a grain. So these are some interesting things. On this other half of the plate, you have one half of the plate that's raw and lightly cooked vegetables. The other half, you have some of these low glycemic grains. And again, that's an option whether you want to add those in. Some people like to have grains, and that's fine to have. And along with the grains, though, we want to have a good protein, a protein that is either grass-fed, which you can get grass-fed beef, you can get poultry, you can get turkey, you can get chicken, and you can also get ostrich. You can get a lot of different meats, buffalo. Buffaloes are actually really, really high in omega-3 fatty acid and a lot of good antioxidants, but grass-fed is always better than grain-fed. And the other thing that we're going to see is if we go the fish route, we want to be careful not to overdo it because of mercury, but we can get wild versus farm-raised. So wild-caught fish are always going to have better nutritional spectrums than these other counterparts. If we can find organic beef or proteins that are grass-fed and organic, it's even better because we're going to eliminate these hormones that I spoke about earlier, you know, growth hormone and these other hormones that are being shot into them. These types of farms abstain from shooting their cattle up, which is always good. So if we look at the dinner plate, we want to have some low glycemic grain if you want it. You want to have a good source of protein. Eggs also fall in that category as good protein. And then the other thing that looks really, really good on this is that the vegetable and the other half of this plate, you really cannot overdose. That's just the recommendation. We're actually recommending in this lifestyle that you eventually get up to 8 to 12 servings of vegetables every day. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm going to show you some ways to easily attain that. So vegetable-rich, low glycemic, that's the magic. That's you're taking the best of both worlds as far as research goes. There's clear research showing that the more vegetables you eat, the lower your chances of heart disease, cancer, and stroke are. I mean, it's literally proportional. More vegetables equals less risk. And the less you're spiking your insulin and your cortisol, the more your waist will get thinner and thinner and thinner. You'll literally get 6 pounds off of your waist and midsection every single month. That's without exercise. That's just changing your hormones when you eat. Just understanding not to spike these hormones will allow you to get great results. Another good source of protein that we kind of gloss over, we have yellow pea protein, which is great for our vegetarian friends. And then we have our non-denatured whey protein. And these are just basically, these two are just protein powders. We tend to really like these a lot better than soy, because these don't have phytoestrogens. They're going to affect our sex hormones. So we want to look at non-denatured whey or yellow pea protein. And, again, they make some really good you can make really good protein shakes as meal replacements with these products. Again, we have lots of recipes. Just let us know. We'll guide you in that area. So let's do a quick review. We understand we need to bring insulin and stress hormones down. One of the easiest things to do is to eliminate or massively reduce the foods that are going to cause direct flooding of insulin and cortisol in your system. And I'm going to go through a quick list. And everybody, I want you to take a deep breath right now. I don't want you to freak out about this. The list is going to sound kind of restrictive. And really, it's not, because I'm going to show you replacements for each of the things that you love. Number one is bread. Number two is pasta. Number three is rice. Number four is white potatoes. Number five is oatmeals and cereals. Okay, so if you understand those five things are going to shoot insulin and cortisol and actually make you fat and sick around the waist, you're going to see that the replacements that I give you are going to do the exact opposite, and they're going to taste great. So the first replacement we'll talk about is bread. What do we replace bread with? Really simple. You use a product called Ezekiel bread, and even most grocery stores now carry it in their frozen section. And they also make flat bread, flat wraps, tortilla wraps out of the same thing. It's a flourless bread, and it works great. Tastes good. They even have one that's cinnamon and raisin that you can even make French toast with. Very good tasting, very low in spiking your insulin because they're taking the flour out of it. The other replacement we want to look at, I talked to you about the rice replacement. We want to go to wild rice versus brown rice and white rice. Brown and white rice will spike your insulin fairly high. Wild rice will give you very little insulin spike at all, and it's also high in protein and fiber. So if transitioning into this, if you want to ease into it, you can do maybe half brown and half wild just to kind of get used to the consistency of wild rice. But once you start understanding, you know, different recipes and how to use it, I think you'll really like it. The other thing is for potatoes, everybody can switch over to sweet potatoes instead of white potatoes. It's going to have a much less of an effect as far as insulin goes. It's going to be nutritionally much, much more dense. So the other one that people get excited about, I talked to you a little bit about quinoa earlier, and if you want to eliminate pasta, you have to have a good quinoa-based pasta. They even make some that have quinoa and wild rice. They even make just straight wild rice pastas now. So you can get pastas now made from wild rice or pastas made from quinoa, and they usually add a little bit of corn in there too. But they're going to have a much lower insulin spiking effect on you, and they taste great. So those are some very easy alternatives, very easy substitutes. The other one for your grains, the people who are the cereal lovers, thinking the Cheerios is going to be the best thing, the most heart-healthy thing you can eat, I'm here to tell you that there's better alternatives. The same company that makes the breads, the Ezekiel brand, they make Ezekiel cereal. They make one that is like a raisin brand. It's a flourless, again, grain flourless cereal, and it's going to have raisins and cinnamon flavored. They have an almond flavored. They have a plain, and I think they have a fourth one too. But the cool thing with the Ezekiel cereals is that you can eat those over milk like you would with regular cereal. And then if you don't want to have it over milk and you want to have it hot, you can put either hot warm milk or hot water over it and make it like your oatmeal. So those of you who are big into the steel cut oats, I'm telling you, just transition over to the Ezekiel cereal, and you will see just great results regarding weight thinning and longevity. Again, this is more of a longevity-based system that we're talking about, and it's more of a lifestyle. So some other testing that we can do, we talked to you about the lipoprotein and the lipid panels that we spoke about, and cholesterol and getting these things under control, but there's three other tests that are very important that are measuring inflammatory processes and genetic predispositions to these particular heart disease. And actually, this one test in particular is about six times more accurate in determining whether or not you'll have heart disease. And that test is called lipoprotein A. Not a lot of doctors do it because there is no drug to fix elevated lipoprotein A. Can we fix elevated lipoprotein A through natural whole food supplementation and changing our lifestyle? Absolutely. Is there a magic pill that you can do? No. So you don't see a lot of people testing for lipoprotein A because they don't have any drug to prescribe when it's out of whack. So lipoprotein A is the number one test that you're going to want to get done in addition to your regular lipid panel. Okay, your regular lipid panel is going to have your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, your LDL, which is your bad cholesterol. It's also going to have your total cholesterol, and it's also going to have triglycerides. Okay, that's your regular lipid panel. You want to add the lipoprotein A as an additional test to this. The other one that you want to add is something called homocysteine. And homocysteine is going to measure how sticky the blood vessel walls are. We call it the Velcro factor of the blood vessel wall. We do not want the inside of our blood vessel walls around our artery walls. We don't want them to be sticky and Velcro-like where cholesterol sticks to them. That's where we get plaquing and clogging of the arteries. So we definitely want a homocysteine check to see whether or not the inside of our blood vessel walls are sticky. And the last one, the last additional test some of you may have heard of, it's actually gaining a lot of popularity. It's called C-reactive protein. This is systemic inflammation. It's actually checking for inflammation. Inflammation, long-standing, always leads to increased risk of cardiovascular risk factors along with a host of other problems. So the additional tests that we want are lipoprotein A, homocysteine, and C-reactive protein. And then our lipid panel, we have optimals versus their normal range. Triglycerides, optimally, they say under 150. We would like to see them around 80. The LDLs under 100. The total cholesterol, we don't get too concerned with. What we're actually more concerned with is the ratio of total cholesterol over, you divide your total cholesterol over your good cholesterol, which is your HDL. And if we see that ratio under 4, we're in pretty good shape. If we have heart disease that runs in our family, or we have heart disease currently, we want to unclog the arteries, we want to see that ratio under 3. So we're more concerned about total cholesterol over HDL. HDL is like the garbage man. It'll come and take all the bad cholesterol out and get rid of it. So those ratios are more important than the number by itself. The other thing that we add into reversing some of these metabolic syndromes is something called metabolic training. And they actually added this metabolic training in to insulin-dependent diabetics, and they did 1 week of metabolic training and lowered their need for insulin by almost 60%. This is in 1 week. And metabolic training sessions are actually short, So everybody's excuses, I don't have the time to go and do this. Metabolic training is only 18 to 24 minutes a day, and you don't have to do it. Actually, I do not recommend doing it every day. The most that you should do this is on non-consecutive days. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. You know, you just don't do it back-to-back. It's your body actually needs to recover from this. The cool thing about metabolic training is it burns 9 times more fat than if you were to go out and ride a bike or go for a walk or go for a jog or go for a swim. They call that steady state cardiovascular exercise, where your heart rate elevates and stays at a steady state the entire time that you're doing it. This will blow away your elliptical or your bike or anything like that, because what's happening is you're driving your heart rate up very high for a minute or two, and then you're relaxing for a minute. And then you're driving it up high again for a minute or two, and then you're relaxing. You can also Google this or go to Dr. Mercola's website, and it's called PACE training. It's not just called metabolic training or HIIT training, which is high-intensity interval training. And there's many ways to do that. You can also go to theartofstrength.com. Again, these are instructional DVDs to get into metabolic training. 2 minutes on, 1 minute off is generally what they do, but there are variances depending on your goals and your fitness level. So anyway, they're very short training sessions, 18 to 24 minutes. Burns way more body fat. It actually will teach your body how to use fat and glucose more efficiently. So that's what we want. We want our body to use fat and sugar more efficiently for energy. And the neat thing about this is up to 15 hours after a training session, you'll actually have what they call post-exercise oxygen consumption, which means the cells are actually burning more calories at rest than it would if you just did regular exercise. So this is actually getting the fire going, and the coals are burning all night. Even when you're sleeping, you're actually burning calories. So this is the beauty of metabolic training. Again, very key component. You can do very little exercise. At our clinic, we offer the class twice a week. We do Tuesday and Thursday nights. And we also have a personal trainer who comes in and does Monday and Wednesday mornings. But this metabolic training is definitely something you can add in. You don't have to add everything at once. For those of you who just want to start making the dietary changes, that's fine. Get used to that. You can always add in the metabolic training later. Those of you who want to add metabolic training first, it doesn't matter as long as you take the first step. So when taking the first step, we talked about making these transitions, white potato to sweet potato. All pastas go to quinoa pasta or wild rice pasta. All breads transition to the Ezekiel breads. All cereals and oatmeals transition to the Ezekiel cereals. All types of rice go to wild rice. Again, also another low glycemic grain is buckwheat, and we show you how to make buckwheat pancakes. We can also show you how to make crepes. The crepe and buckwheat pancake recipe is almost identical. If you want to make a perfect buckwheat pancake, which is low glycemic, higher protein, all you do is get 1 tablespoon of buckwheat flour, then you get 1 tablespoon of cream cheese and 1 egg. And all you do is beat that. If you want to make it a little sweeter, you can add a little packet of stevia and a little teaspoon of freshly ground cinnamon. And basically you put it in a nonstick pan with a little bit of olive oil, and it'll basically make a perfect buckwheat pancake every single time. If you want to make crepes, and then you can stuff the crepes with whatever you'd like. Those of you who like manicotti, you can shred some zucchini and get some nice organic ricotta cheese. And basically, you'll stuff these crepes with the ricotta cheese, and then you can put a meat sauce over it. Again, the meat sauce that we recommend is probably 7 or 8 servings of vegetables in there, and it's from grass-fed organic beef. But long story short, the crepe recipe is 1 tablespoon of the cream cheese and 1 egg. The only thing you're doing different to make it a little thinner, because you don't want a pancake, you don't want it too thick like a pancake, instead of using buckwheat flour, what you're going to use is just plain oat bran, just the bran of the oat, and just do 1 tablespoon of the oat bran, and it'll come out very thin, crepe-like, and you just let them cool. And instead of using the cinnamon and the stevia, obviously, to make it sweet, all you're going to do is put a teaspoon of finely ground sea salt in with it. So you want to put a little bit of sea salt and basically same way, nonstick pan, a little bit of olive oil. It'll come out as a perfect crepe, low glycemic crepe every single time. And again, you can do them, you can stuff them with cream cheese and blueberries, cream cheese and strawberries. I mean, whatever, however you want it, you can get very creative with these. It's excellent, very filling. You want to drastically increase your vegetable intake. You want to eat fruits by themselves, and you want to keep fluids during your meals. You want to drink either 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after the meal. You don't want to drink a lot of fluids to dilute your digestive enzymes. You want to keep those non-diluted, so try and drink less than 4 ounces per meal. Other things you can do to reduce your cortisol and your stress hormone is to eliminate caffeine. You can transition from coffees and espressos and energy drinks and transition over to a nice green tea. You can make the green tea. You can brew it fairly strong and cool it, and you can put it over ice if you like ice green tea. Also, a great way to get off of caffeine is to support your adrenals. We have a product at the office called Adrenal Complex, and it's one of the easiest ways to get the same feeling of drinking coffee by just feeding our adrenal glands. So instead of draining the adrenal glands by drinking coffee, you're actually going to feed them. We have people who've taken Adrenal Complex alone and lost inches from around their waist because it brings cortisol down. So that's very important. Not going too long between meals is probably the easiest way to reduce cortisol. If you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, try and have something between breakfast and lunch, a protein, a low-carbohydrate, a good protein snack, and then have another snack between lunch and dinner. And then if you're eating early dinners, try and have something closer to bedtime, between dinner and bedtime. This will dramatically reduce your cortisol because it eliminates hypoglycemia. Other things to reduce your cortisol, obviously prayer, meditation, laughter, gratitude, adjustments, and we also have biofeedback equipment like heart rate variability. You can go to mwave.com, that's emwave.com. You can get a little home unit, and they even make them to where you don't even need a computer. They're just basically freestanding little portable units. And it lets you know when you're breathing and when you're relaxed, and it also lets you know when you're tense. And it comes with nice little tutorials that shows you how to breathe, how to relax, which have been shown by blood work to reduce your cortisol. 20-minute session of heart rate variability reduces the cortisol for up to 24 hours in the blood, which is very, very powerful. The other thing we want to do with this metabolic training and moving is we want to detoxify. One of the things that metabolic training does is it allows us to sweat, and it causes our circulation of our lymph nodes and our lymphatic system. It moves all this junk out. The other thing that increasing vegetables is that you're increasing your fiber. Fiber attaches to these cholesterols and attaches to these toxins and allows us to get this stuff out of our bodies. Juicing vegetables, especially green juices. Dr. Mercola highlights this in his book called The No Grains Diet. He talks about green vegetable juices that he makes with cucumbers and celery and green apples and different things. The more greens we eat, the better our detoxification. Our liver needs greens to detoxify. Avoid drinking out of plastics. Use natural hygiene products and cleaners. Avoid microwaving foods. And, of course, you can always do our 21-day purification program. It's excellent blood, liver, and kidney detoxification. It's one of the best detoxification programs that I've ever seen. Just, again, contact our office, and we'll get you set up with that. Other than that, the big thing is thinking long-term. Slowly start transitioning these things. Find what's the easiest to do and go for it. And a lot of people look at this as an all-or-none issue. It's not all-or-none. Keep in mind, if you're eating 3 meals a day, that's 21 meals a week. Think percentages. If you can do 85% of the time, eat the way I'm telling you, and you have 2 or 3 cheat meals a week at first, don't beat yourself up over that. Don't bring the cheat meals home. That was one of the rules we went over. Just remember, it's a percentage game. And just start finding a handful of these recipes that you love. You're going to eventually come up with a manicotti that you love, or a protein shake like the one that we use. It's a dark chocolate almond protein shake. We're going to come up with a handful of recipes that you like for breakfast. You're going to come up with a handful of low glycemic, high vegetable recipes for lunch, and the same thing for dinner. You're going to come up with a handful of snacks that you really, really like. Once you start looking forward to this and seeing that it can taste really good and it's not restrictive, you know, in any way, I mean, you're going to be eating all kinds of good foods, foods that make you feel satisfied. Once you understand that it's doable and you can start planning, then you can slowly start adding new things into your diet. Start doing it a little at a time. Do one new thing for the next 3 weeks or so. Once that becomes a habit, add something else in. Once that becomes a habit, add something else in. And at the end of 12 months, you're going to be having 12 new things that are new habits. You're going to be having a thinner waist. If you have diabetes, you're going to have your diabetes reversed. If you have cholesterol issues, you're going to have your cholesterol issues reversed. Rather than requiring and depending upon prescription drugs, we're going to see that the body is going to start working better all on its own. All we have to do is feed it properly and allow it to recover from this hormonal cascade, this chaos that we've been doing. And we do it, we don't even do it trying. It's just, the food choices are just highly refined, and we just need to become aware of what's causing the problems rather than just treating the effect. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Like I said, we have some excellent supportive materials with this. I gave you a bunch of books, a bunch of DVDs and everything. Just jump in and don't go extreme. Start out slow. Enjoy it. If you guys have any questions or you need help, feel free to contact the office, and that's what we're here for. Have a great night.